This is Ozarks at Large. Alexander McCall Smith is a popular, prolific, and varied writer. His series, The Number One Ladies Detective Agency, has delighted millions of readers around the world. He's also the writer behind the Isabella Dalhousie novels, the 44 Scotland Street series, the book Law's Orchestra Saves the World, and many others. Tonight, he'll give the talk, The Very Small Things of Life, beginning at 7 at the Fayetteville Public Library. He'll also take questions from the audience and sign copies of his books. Earlier this week, I reached Mr. McCall Smith by phone and asked him if the very small things of life make for a good life and for a good story.
Well, I think they're very important in one's life, and I think that if one can put them into a story, that's an additional bonus. Obviously, stories have to have a little bit more than that, but I think that attention to these small human interactions actually adds texture to a story, as it adds texture to one's life.
You write often, you're published often, and you have many different recurring characters. I'm wondering, is it ever difficult to keep Precious from the Ladies Detective Agency series apart from Isabel?
Well, it's funny you should ask that, because on one occasion, a few books ago, I actually did mix them up in that Mara Matsui, Precious from Matsui, started talking like Isabel Dalhousie and talking about the sort of issue that Isabel Dalhousie discusses. And my editor in New York, Edward Kastenmeier, said to me when he looked at the manuscript that he thought that on page whatever it was, Mara Matsui had slipped into the persona of Isabel Dalhousie, and I looked and he was absolutely right. That was a momentary aberration on my part. Generally speaking, I managed to keep the characters apart just by the simple expedient of saying to myself before I sit down to write, where am I?
Do you use the same editor each time?
Yes, I've got a couple of editors. I suppose I've got three principal editors rather than two who look after my work. There's an editor in New York, an editor in London, and an editor in Edinburgh. And so I'm accustomed to working with these three people, and it works very well. The relationship between an author and his or her editor is a very important one.
You set many of your works, if not all, in real places. You're not like Faulkner and invent a place. Is there an advantage in using Edinburgh?
Well, I do use real places. I think that people actually rather like that. I think that it adds something to fiction if it's if it takes place in an identifiable place with real landmarks, so to speak. And my experience is that people enjoy that because it helps them to imagine that what is happening in the book actually really is happening. And when you come to think of fiction, it's an extraordinary leap of the imagination in a way that you when you're reading the book, you think that the events that you're reading really did happen, and that's of the essence of fiction. So I find using real places is quite important. And of course, I have in one of my Portuguese Irregular Verbs books, I used Fayetteville, Arkansas, as a setting. I did set a scene in Fayetteville.
How do you choose where to set the scene?
It's where I've been.
Okay.
Yes, you can usually, readers can follow my travels by just reading the books, and they realize that I've been in these places as I start talking about them.
When you use a real place, though, does that put a little bit more pressure on you as a writer? Because someone who lives in Edinburgh or someone who has been to Fayetteville can say, now, wait a second.
Yes, you've got to be careful. And so I would never dream of using a place that I didn't know well as a full setting or the major setting of a novel. Obviously, I can have characters going to other places, and you can get away with that because people don't expect you to have an intimate knowledge of the place. But certainly, if one's going to set a book in a place, you really have to know it very well. You really have to live there, in my view. So my books are set in Scotland. Most of my books are set in Scotland, but I also write about Botswana, and I spend a lot of time in Botswana, so I feel comfortable about setting a book there.
The 44 Scotland series originally began as a serial.
Yes, in the newspaper.
Right.
And indeed, it continues to do that in that I publish it chapter by chapter in the Scotsman newspaper back in Edinburgh as I write it. So right at the moment, I'm doing that. So while I'm on this tour in the United States, I'm having to write chapters
of the Scotland Street novel and send them back, and then they appear in the newspaper, and then they appear as a book. And that, of course, is an old, tried and trusted
Charles
way
Dickens.
Of writing books. As you know, this is the way Dickens did it, and a number of other 19th century writers used that. And I think it's, firstly, it's great fun, but also it's quite a good way of, I suppose, focusing on the development of the plot, knowing that it's happening in real time, that you can't change things.
Tales of the City was first serialized, wasn't it?
Exactly. In fact, it was a conversation I had with Armistead Maupin in San Francisco at a party at Amy Tan's house when I chatted to him about Tales of the City. And when I returned to Scotland, I mentioned this conversation in an article I wrote, and the editor of one of the Scottish newspapers said, "Right, you're on, you do that for us." And I rashly accepted and never looked back. And I've done 6 volumes so far. I'm writing the 7th volume. So it's been going for the six years plus, actually.
I know when Dickens wrote, of course, it wasn't daily. I think it might have been weekly or monthly at times. And he, on at least some of his serialized novels, didn't know how it was going to end when it was being published.
Yes.
Do you have it completely done and then have it serialized?
No, I do it as I go along, and indeed I'm in the same boat as he was, in that I don't know how it's going to end. With this current one, I think that we're about, we're more than two-thirds of the way through. So although I haven't written the final chapters, and I'm really only about 4 days ahead of publication at the moment, I nonetheless have an idea of how it's going to end. But it may change a little in these final weeks of the writing. One has to be prepared for that.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like a bit of a tightrope walk.
Yes, it is. I think that that's a very good analogy. And indeed, one can't really look down when you're walking on a tightrope. Not that I've ever done it, or nor indeed I propose to do it, but I gather that the thing you do try to avoid is looking down. You look ahead. So really, I don't dare think about what I'm doing, because it's just it's quite frightening. Actually, there I'm writing a novel which is being published as I write it, and the contractual obligations associated with that, and the newspapers all geared up to it, and people have invested in it and whatnot, and so I really have to do it. And so I don't stop and think.
The novels that come from the number one ladies detective agency have never been to Africa, have maybe not even really considered Africa until reading the series. Do you find that a responsibility, that you're introducing this continent to so many people?
Well, yes, it is a responsibility. You're quite right. And I'm very aware of that responsibility. And I do take it pretty seriously, in that I know that there are people who read the Botswana novels and think, well, we should go and see that part of Africa and then go. And obviously, I would feel very concerned if there were many people who did that and then discovered that they had been misled or they didn't like it. But fortunately, the contrary is the case. And so people go off to Botswana having read the books, and then they tend to say to me, when I meet them at signings and so on, they tend to say, well, we had a wonderful time, and yes, the country is as nice as you suggest it is, and that I'm always very pleased about. And indeed, I do take the view that Botswana is a wonderful country, and so I'm really pleased when people have that experience and think that is the case.
One final question. There are some people in our area who have visited Edinburgh, and they were told by locals a story. And I'm going to try to find out if it is fact or just a great legend to tell tourists. But the story goes that you, Ian Rankin, and J.K. Rowling all live very close, and that the space is called by locals the Writer's Block. Is that true?
Yes, people. I don't know who coined that phrase, writer's block. It's quite a good phrase for it. Curiously enough, there were three authors who lived really within a stone's throw of one another. Ian Rankin lives just 2 doors away from me. He writes these very good Inspector Rebus novels. And then J.K. Rowling, who writes the Harry Potter series, she lived around the corner. She's moving, still in Edinburgh, but moving. But people did call it writer's block.
Mr. McCall-Smith, thank you very much for your time.
thank you very much indeed.
Alexander McCall Smith will give the talk, The Very Small Things of Life, tonight at 7 at the Fayetteville Public Library. He'll also take questions from members of the audience and sign copies of his book. You can hear more from our conversation online at OzarksAtLarge.com.